This is Careers in Podcasting and New Media with Douglas E. Welch. For more information, visit our website, welchwrite.com/CIP. That's welchwrite.com/CIP. Well, welcome everybody. This is Douglas, and tonight I have an interview to share with you. On the line is founder of Friends in Tech, fellow podcaster, fellow member of Friends in Tech, Kevin Devon, from up in Washington State.
Greetings.
Good evening, Kevin. Thanks for joining me tonight.
You bet. I'm surprised my microphone still works here.
And we'll get into why that's the case in just a little bit, actually. Kevin has abandoned his poor machine. It doesn't know what he looks like anymore. So, Kevin, in our internal Friends in Tech mailing list, where we do all of our quote-unquote business of Friends in Tech, we had a discussion about some changes that were happening in your company and with you in particular. And it sounded very interesting, and I wanted to share it with the listeners of both Careers in Podcasting and New Media and Career Opportunities. So first of all, can you tell us a little bit about the company you work for and what your role was in this company?
Sure. Well, it's started out way back. Now, about 7 years ago, I started working for a local building controls manufacturer. And through the years, we've gone through two different acquisitions. And so now I'm working for a very large building automation, building controls manufacturer. And as such, within the IT realm, I've gone from a one-man IT department up through an IT team distributed amongst across the United States to a very, very large global IT infrastructure. And of course, as is the case with many of the larger corporations, there's a very strong push towards outsourcing. So it came about after this last acquisition. We've been about almost 3 years now since, two and a half, since the last acquisition, since we were acquired by Gigantic Corp. As a result, they've decided to go ahead and push forward this year with the outsourcing effort with my site here. So seeing that, I tried basically to turn that into an opportunity and incorporate some of my talents and enjoyment that I have outside of work surrounding podcasting and audio editing and such, and kind of turn that into a position there at work.
Wow, that's pretty amazing, and I'm sure there's people out there who really want to understand a little bit more about this. Now, from my history with you, you were the founder and co-host of In the Trenches, the podcast for sysadmins. Mm-hmm. And you've since pulled back from that a little bit, but it sounds like your work on that show was definitely a factor in moving into this new position.
Actually, yeah, it was. It very much was. Started that show back in October of 2004. So we just hit the 3 year mark for that show, just within a couple of days ago, and it did play a big role because people were able to see what I was able to do. And, you know, as with so many others in, you know, in the podcasting realm, or people who are just awakening to the idea or concept of podcasting, I mean, all kinds of light bulbs have gone off in people's heads as seeing it as an opportunity. And that's basically what has happened there where I work. They wanted to see what we could do to push out information to our dealer networks and see if they could do it in a, you know, through an alternative method than what they've been accustomed to before.
Okay, so basically you're kind of creating your own personal radio, television, news station to go out to all these dealers then.
Yeah, in a sense, it's going to be a combination of several things, predominantly the creation and development of e-learning modules for distance learning. That way, get our dealers up to speed on different products. You know, different things that we can do with online training that could enhance our trainer, you know, the actual trainer in front of the class, you know, classroom type training. And so we're looking at those types of opportunities, and as well as podcasting, Breeze and Captivate modules, just all kinds of anything that to do with audio is where I'm focusing, of course. But I'm finding that's starting to encompass a lot of different little things.
Well, that sounds good. Can you give us a little bit of an understanding of how the transition took place, what you did, how the company responded, and items like that?
It was really kind of a fortunate thing. I mean, we had spoken about podcasting and that it would be something neat to do, but it was just something that was kind of on the horizon that we, you know, a nice to do, but we just don't have the manpower or time to do it. And then the mandate came down about IT and what they were wanting to do with our site. And just kind of, we all just looked at each other and was like, hey, here we go. Here's the chance. And so my new manager, she took the ball and ran with it, and she created the opportunity for me. So worked out really well.
It certainly sounds like it, especially when you're presented with such a issue like you were with the outsourcing. I know that's something that a lot of us have faced over the years of, well, you know, you've been rendered, for lack of a better word, redundant, as they often say,
yeah,
when mergers take place. Such a pleasant word to apply to someone, redundant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Now, so is this a function still of IT, or is this in the training human resources area, or is it marketing, where do you actually fall in the hierarchy?
I fall now within training, with a slight edge in the sales department still. I was carrying on another role, a part-time role, even within IT, where I was assisting our dealers and their customers with IT-related issues. So I had a secondary, or I guess you could say a minor in a sense, of IT sales support. So that role is going to continue onward, but my primary focus now will be on end user, you know, it's what's called a learning technology specialist now.
Well, it certainly sounds like something that I've been talking about in career opportunities a lot, and that is making your own position. This certainly sounds like an almost perfect example of that, and I'm glad that's worked out for you, and I'm sure others around you who hopefully have landed on their feet in other ways find it that way too.
I hope so. No, it's really, I'm really looking forward to it because, I love IT, and I've always loved working in that department, in that area. But this is finally, I'm able to take something that is an interest of mine outside of work and actually bring it into work and, you know, get paid for it, which is really, really cool.
Yes, the whole aspect of taking an avocation and making it a vocation, which is, mm-hmm. Again, something I recommend, and hopefully people can take action on that. It doesn't always happen, but it certainly leads to what I think is a feeling better about your job because you are more interested in it. You are more involved in it.
So. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly how I got started in IT to begin with. Is it was a passion or a hobby, and I turned it into a profession, and it's been that way for, gosh, coming up on 20 years, and now it's just taking another hobby and twisting it around and making it my profession. So it's really cool.
Well, I can say even working for myself, I find myself doing a lot of the same thing where I'm turning my business more in that realm too. I'm using my podcasting experience and what I've learned about audio and video and stuff to book a few more of those clients rather than crawling underneath the desk, as I describe it.
I'll take it any day.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole lot easier. It really is.
Oh, man. Especially after 20 years in this. So yeah, you don't want to be crawling under desks.
Exactly. We're all getting to be of a certain age when the view of us under the desk is not necessarily what we want to present to our clients either. At least for some of us.
I did not need that vision.
There you go. There you go. So you sort of touched on some of the content you're creating. It sounds like it's mainly audio right now. It's obviously training related. Are these long form, short form? Are you basically doing online manuals for these dealers out there? Can describe a little more what you're doing, kind of your actual little projects within your new role here.
A lot of it's going to be training modules, you know, that we've taken an in-class course and seen what we could do to convert that over to make it available via online means. And that is usually facilitated through Breeze or Captivate. And we're also looking at some other opportunities. You know, one of the things we're pushing forward with trying to do as well is setting up a public-facing LMS, you know, learning management system that our dealers can use. So they can, you know, they can register for a course, an online course, go through the process of, you know, of taking it and report back their results, you know, from tests and quizzes and things like that, and record it right back into our system. So that's some of the things that we're looking at. But so far as the content itself, it's going to vary in the number of modules per course. We've got some that I know one right now that I'm working on is, I think it's 5 separate modules, probably takes a total of about 2 to 3 hours to go through it completely if you were to sit down and go through it.
Well, that's interesting. And actually, you answered one of my questions further down my page here was, are you going to develop some public-facing podcasts, some outreach to customers, clients? You're obviously reaching out to the dealers, or at least hope to at this point.
Yeah, our dealers, they are our customers because our product is sold through a dealer channel. So we do offer some training and stuff to actual end users, but that's all facilitated through our dealers. So whether or not they will be, you know, that those training modules would be available to them, it's hard to say, but I do know that it will definitely be available to our dealers.
And as you said, of course, Sarah, your dealers are your customers, just like I would be going out to someone on the street or someone in a small office, home office here. Since you do all your business through dealers, they are your customers out there. It's a kind of a typical B2B or business-to-business environment then.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask you, where would you personally like to see this grow? What would you like to see this become?
Well, I'd like to see more audio, of course. Actually, development of taking some of our sales bulletins and pushing them out that way. There has to be a good needs analysis, you know, created to make sure that, you know, our dealer channel, some of these guys get a lot of windshield time, which to me would make it very, you know, a very good fit. But these are the guys that actually are out working jobs, you know, and, you know, construction, you know, commercial buildings and stuff. So I don't know exactly how much time they actually have with an iPod or anything like that. But I know some of the sales guys, they have a lot of windshield time. So I know that they could benefit from it. But it's a matter of, you know, how many of those folks are actually audio types? You know, you start getting into sales folks, and a lot of them, they like to, they kind of like to do the song and dance, you know, the very physical, you know, press the flesh, you know, hand to hand shake, you know, all that stuff.
Kind of a high eye, as they say over at Vinegar Tools.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, they're very, they like to do everything face to face, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so doing it through audio works for some, but others, it's not a good fit. So we still have to feel that out. But so far as the, online training, definitely that's a go. And they've thought about, branching it out to do some video to an extent, but that one really, really needs to be thought out a lot more.
Yeah, I know with video, you have to kind of step up to video. It seems a small step sometimes, but then you get involved with it and you realize, oh, there's a lot more elements I have to be concerned with here.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
What's the lighting like? And, oh, geez, look at that ugly plant in the background. And why are they sitting that way? Oh, I have to get a new chair and all sorts of, you know, silly stuff like that.
Well, it's interesting because we actually, you know, the size of our company, I mean, they actually have a full-fledged production facility and a team dedicated to doing that kind of stuff. So I don't know if it would make good sense for us to move in that direction or not, but who knows? We'll see you down the road.
Definitely seems like an opportunity for a little cross-departmental work there for sure.
Yeah, actually, yeah, absolutely. Ultimately, I'd like to see the IT sales support pick up and, you know, and really flourish like I would hope it would. But I'd also like to continue on doing the audio bit, you know, and the training and things like that. Just the combination of those two is really has me excited, you know, being able to do a little bit of both, still keeping, you know, somewhat of a foot in IT, but yet, you know, branching out and doing something new within training.
I understand entirely. Although we move from position to position and we like changing positions and stuff like that, we also like to utilize all of our skills to the best of our ability. And this certainly sounds like a good way for you to do that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, heck, I've got a bachelor's degree in information technology, so I definitely want to make that degree pay for itself in some way.
I understand that. Let me ask you, because you're basically doing podcasting within a corporate environment, and I wonder, what are some of the challenges you face doing it inside a corporation? I mean, most people think of podcasters as kind of wild and free and don't really care what we say sometimes, but in a corporate environment, that's got to be quite different.
Yeah, it is quite different because, you have the, you know, the party line of, you know, what the company should say and all that stuff. You know, you have to deal with all of the marketing aspect, and there is some controls as to what you can say and what you should say and what you should not say. And, you know, that takes a little getting used to, especially if you've done it on your own and, you know, behind a mic in a room by yourself and just letting it loose. Fortunately, I never got into that kind of podcasting, but it's still, you have to be careful with what you're saying. And things right now, I think there's a level of expectation along the lines. You get a lot of managers on up who expect a certain type of presentation when they do their PowerPoint presentations and things like that. So everything has this very professional delivery and so on. And that kind of bleeds over into this, you know, this medium as well, to an extent, where they want to try to control the delivery and the message and stuff. So that definitely takes a little bit of getting used to and, you know, managing.
Do you have a hard time getting approvals and stuff like that? I know in some cases I come from a corporate background, and I know that often one of the biggest hurdles we had to get over in doing a particular project was getting through the approval process. Okay, is that the word we can say here? Well, you know, one executive will say use this word, another executive will say use the other. Are you having any issues with that at all?
No, not yet. So far as approval on anything, right now everything's been very centered around training and training of our dealers. As we start to branch out beyond that, where we start incorporating more of our sales and things like that, that's where I can envision some of the roadblocks starting to pop up. Either that, or it's going to be like, no, this is what we want you to say, period.
I can understand that entirely. And I think that's pretty typical of any environment, any large corporate environment. You
have
the hoops you have to jump through. Hopefully I wish you as few of those as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Now I do know I have to bring this up in the interview, of course, because you were very clear in, I won't say rubbing this in our faces or not, but mm-hmm. We saw plenty of pictures of this, this delivery you got, a few weeks ago, at your office. something that all of us podcasters would sort of drool over. Can you tell people what that was?
Oh, my sound booth. Yes. Oh, it's beautiful.
Can you kind of give us some background on where it came from and, you know, and how you got it and something like that? Because I have one client here in Los Angeles that has one very similar to that.
Oh, yeah?
Just last week, I was actually doing an interview inside of one of those, kind of one that looks more like yours. And I want to kind of explain to people what this sound booth is and what it's useful for.
It's really very simple. It's about a 4x6 box, about 8 feet tall, maybe. Yeah, about that. And it's made out of about 3/4 inch press board. It's wrapped in a heavy felt. It's actually glued to the particle board. And then on top of that, on the inside, it has very thick, about a 2 to 2.5 inch egg crate type foam, sound foam, and it encases the walls and the ceiling.
And so basically, you get a little portable studio kind of wherever this box will fit in your environment then.
Yeah. And it comes the way the company who's doing these, you know, putting these together, they're making a killing. But they do it so well because everything comes disassembled, all in parts. You got all these walls and sections of walls, but they have these channels. It looks like an H, okay? Figure, you know, a stick, you know, pencil written H. And so you have these channels and they just slide onto each other and everything just kind of butts in right together. And then you have like these little, it's an L bracket, but they're also, they hold the wall. And so you put all this stuff together, you know, slide everything here, part A goes part B and all that. And then you set the roof on top and it holds everything in place. And I put it together all by myself. Now the particle board is kind of heavy as you know, since it's, you know, all that glue and wood chips.
Right.
But then, you know, you put all the walls up, get them all stationary, holding up, and then, wrap a strap around it to hold it together. And then you get some help and have someone help you put the roof on, set it right on, closes it right down, and voila, it's all done. Awesome setup.
Can you describe what kind of the environment inside is like when you're in the recording? Because I know it for me, not working in the recording studio environment, I've been in them on occasion, but every time I step into one of these nice soundproof rooms, I get a certain feeling, and I don't know if you get the same feeling when you walk in there.
It's very peaceful because you close the door, and of course, it's not completely 100% soundproof, okay? But it is very, very dampened, you know, and so you don't hear a lot. You can hear some things going on outside. Fortunately, we placed my booth in a portion of the building that is very low traffic and relatively quiet most of the time. Every once in a while, you get someone slamming a door, but you go inside this thing and close it, and it's just so quiet. It's so nice. The only thing that really bothers me, if anything, is as you sit and you look, you know, I put a little desk in there that I've covered with felt and everything, and then I have my monitor up on, you know, on the desk. And as you look at that monitor, I don't know if you, what do you call it, vertigo? You get this really strange sensation, you know, from all this egg crate and the walls and the way it's tapered and everything.
Oh, kinda, you get kind of like an optical illusion that things look like they're moving or something.
It you really got to step back and look at the walls to get it, you know, okay, that's in one spot. It's not moving. Okay, we're okay now.
Hey, motion sickness inside your sound booth. I can see
very,
it.
It's very, very strange. I don't know how to explain it. I guess that's the term vertigo or not.
Yeah, yeah. But, basically, you know, whenever your eyes don't agree with your brain, it's basically motion sickness. So
yeah, it reminds me of, you know, in a snowstorm where you're driving down the road and it's just coming straight at you. And after a while, it becomes mesmerizing.
Yep, yep.
You know? Oh.
Been there, done that. Never moving back to Ohio. Thank you very much. Yeah, I must agree. I get the same feeling when I'm in one of those booths. It's so quiet. It's hyper quiet compared to your daily environment.
Oh, yeah.
And the first couple of seconds I step in one of those booths, whoa, that's just like freaky. They're very freaky. Well, go ahead. Can you tell us which company you got yours through?
Honestly, I don't recall.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, I'm not we'll the have one to look it up. It, so.
Maybe we'll get that in the show notes. That's what show notes are for, right?
I can find out, certainly. They ordered that one before I actually come on board. It was funny. It was because everything was being prepared, you know? They kept coming to me and asking me, okay, what do we need to buy?
They saw you coming.
So we got the hardware. They had already researched the sound booth. So that was already a given that was coming, which was just an added benefit for me. And from there, it was just a matter of putting together what do we need to record audio.
Yeah. Certainly right time, right place. That's for sure. At least sounds that way.
Oh, absolutely. Pushed them towards Adobe Audition to do the recording and the editing. And then we're just using a little Samson, what is it?
COU2 or something like that?
COU1.
COU1, okay.
CO1U, that's it. C01U.
And that's a USB mic, right?
That's a USB mic, correct.
Plugs right into the computer. No mixer required or anything like that.
Correct. Yep. So it's kind of funny. You spend as much as we did on a sound booth, but then you kind of go a little lighter on the equipment. But yeah, I'm not complaining yet. We'll build up equipment as we need it.
You betcha. And that's always what happens in a podcasting environment. You start small and then you start adding this, you start adding that. And in some ways I find that to be a little more effective because then you're really only buying what you really want/need.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than spending a lot of money up front. And then you have people looking over your shoulder going, is this paying for itself yet?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, for a final question tonight, Kevin, what's it feel like to get paid for podcasting?
It feels no different than it did yesterday, but just to be able to do it, do something you really enjoy. And, that to me is typically payment enough. But now, the added benefit of being paid, now you can actually do this stuff and not feel guilty, do a little bit of it there at work and, you're perfectly fine. It's not something that you say, this is something that I would have to wait till after hours, to do. I can actually do now, and get paid for it. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I know when I had some professional projects come up where I was producing some podcasts for people, and I was sitting here at my computer, and I turned around to my wife, who also works at home, and said, I'm getting paid for this, right? I shouldn't feel guilty about sitting here and editing audio for four hours, right?
Exactly. It's like,
that took a bit of, took a little bit to get my head around that, but I think I experienced the same thing you did. It was very enjoyable to kind of go, yeah, hey, I am getting paid for this. Okay, I can deal with that.
Should I be doing this? I should probably be doing something else that's more important.
That was a thought that ran through my head. Yeah, it really did. So all you other podcasters out there, if you're getting paid for something, enjoy it. enjoy what you're doing and don't feel guilty about it because you're actually paying the bills.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well Kevin, I want to thank you so much for talking with us tonight. When I first heard about your experience on the mailing list there, I said, you know what? Got to get him in here and have him tell his story to everyone out there so they can somewhat see a path, a possibility of what they might be able to do with their podcasting skills and how they might integrate podcasting into a larger company.
Yeah. And it's funny, and I don't mean to drag on this, but when I started podcasting, that was one of the things that I had in my head. I was going to use this as a vehicle for something. I wasn't sure at the time what, but I was confident that I could use it as a vehicle for something. And it looks like that's finally paid off.
And what a great message to end our interview on. Thank you again, Kevin. Have a great day. And we look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
This has been Careers in Podcasting and New Media with Douglas C. Welch. For more information, visit the website, welchwrite.com/CIP. That's welchwrite.com/CIP. You can also call our listener line with your questions and comments. Call 818-804-5049. Again, that's 818-804-5049. We'll be right back. This show is a production of WelchWrite.com, WelchWrite.com.